Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. You fought hard to implement maintenance plan scheduling. You've been at it for over a year, and your boss comes asking, where is that ROI? Except the ROI you're expecting hasn't materialized. Why is that? Was the plan scheduling function set up correctly? Oftentimes, businesses create a plan scheduling function and realize the benefits in craft efficiency, but not as much as expected. This gap can be contributed to a magnitude of issues, and in my experience, one of the largest contributors to that gap is the time the maintenance techs spend traveling to and from the storeroom and looking for parts. Planning identifies what parts are needed, and the scheduling should ensure that those parts are on site and available, but we still do not prevent the craft from having to travel back and forth or rummage through the storeroom. This is where parts kitting comes into play. This episode will cover what makes part kitting successful and what you can do today to set up the parts kitting process. Now, before we dive into parts kitting, I want to talk about why is it important and why should you care about wrench time? Well, wrench time equals craft efficiency, which means your maintenance techs are completing more value-added work in the same amount of time. When you have more value-added work being completed in the same amount of time, you're able to reduce overtime and planned outages. With less overtime comes a reduction in costs and business, and you look like a rock star. Now, who doesn't want to be a rock star? And finally, with reduced costs comes increased profitability for the business, ensuring jobs and prosperous communities. In a typical wrench time study, you'll find that the maintenance techs spend anywhere from 12 to 15% of time traveling to and from the storeroom, to and from the job site. They'll spend an additional 12% looking for parts. Now, I want you to think about how many times you see your maintenance guys walking back and forth to the storeroom in a given day. Do you think it's more than you like? Do you think it's an acceptable amount? Or are you not even sure how many times they walk back and forth? How much time they spend either looking for or waiting for parts at the storeroom is why we want to focus on parts kitting. So how can we reduce those losses to wrench time? Well, maintenance plan scheduling is critical to improving wrench time and serves as a foundation to improve wrench time. Once you have that plan scheduling process in place, parts kitting can be introduced to further drive wrench time improvements by specifically addressing the 15% of time lost to traveling and the 12% of time lost looking for parts. We're going to reduce travel time by reducing the need to travel if the parts are delivered to the site, or at a minimum, by reducing the number of trips to the storeroom. We can also reduce the time spent in the storeroom by virtually eliminating the time locating parts as they're in a specified bin in a designated location on a kitting rack for that job. So what is parts kitting? Parts kitting is the process of gathering all materials required to complete a specific task and preparing them for use. This often involves moving all materials to a specific area, placing them in a bin or a box, and clearly identifying what job they belong to. This kit can be picked up by the maintenance techs on their way to the job site or directly delivered to the job site, eliminating that time-consuming trip to the storeroom and reducing the time rummaging through the storeroom looking for those parts. It sounds simple enough, right? Now, how many of you have a parts kitting process in place? How many of you have tried and failed at implementing a parts kitting process? If you have it in place, hopefully this episode will help make it better. For those that failed, hopefully this will help you get it in place. But before we dive into it, we want to understand, why does parts kitting fail, or why is it abandoned? Well, typically it fails or becomes abandoned because it becomes too resource intensive. Now, why does this happen? Well, typically it's implemented without the appropriate planning and resources, or there's ad hoc systems and processes implemented. You may have unclear roles and responsibilities, or you may have a lack of communication and coordination between the different functions that play an intricate role to parts kitting. But don't worry, if you're unsuccessful or have yet to try it, there's hope at the end of the tunnel, and parts kitting can be successful. There are proven steps and strategies to ensure your parts kitting program does not fail and delivers benefits to the business. But with everything we build, it must be built on a solid foundation. Without a foundation in place, it'll come crumbling down. And with parts kitting, it's no different. If the program is not supported and built upon good maintenance foundations, it will fail. Now let's take a look at what these foundation elements are. First, you have to have a good maintenance plan and scheduling function in place. This will typically include good job plans with parts identified. This will ensure that the storeroom knows what parts are needed and what needs to be ordered or reserved. You also need 2 to 4 weeks of planned, ready backlog. This gives the storeroom time to kit the jobs ahead of them being due. Lastly, you're going to need that weekly schedule. This will ensure all work is identified for a specific week and allows the storeroom time to gather those parts, build those kits, and let the planning and scheduling group know that they are ready and available. You're also going to need some great relationships. I often see maintenance plan and scheduling functions at odds with the storeroom. This is a recipe for disaster with parts kitting. Oftentimes, this is a result of unclear roles and responsibilities, in which the two other groups are unsure of who is responsible for what. This leads to work being duplicated or not done at all, and the blame game ensues. When the team has a good relationship, they'll work to overcome those barriers encountered during the parts kitting process. This not only applies to the plan and scheduling function in the storeroom, but all teams, the storeroom, plan and scheduling, operations, team leaders, everyone involved. You also need to have great communication. And it doesn't just have to be verbal communication. You need to choose the right channel of communication for parts kitting to make it successful. That communication may be system statuses in a CMMS, could be emails, could be meetings, or phone calls. Whatever the communication medium is, just make sure it's effective. Do that by choosing the simplest and most effective method to deliver the right message with minimal interruptions. Each stage in the process of parts kitting should have defined means of communication established. Now, we previously talked about job plans and the fact that they include parts, but I want to emphasize the importance of documenting the parts on the work order and in the right location in that work order for a few reasons. I've worked with sites that put parts in the steps of the plan, but not in the parts section of the work order. This prevented the MRP or CMMS from operating and notifying the storeroom of reservations and purchasing requirements. By putting the parts in the parts section, the CMMS or MRP worked and all info was provided to the storeroom automatically and the process just worked.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
If the part is not a stock part or it's not on the BOM, it is critical that the planner includes all relevant information, the manufacturer, manufacturer part number, material specifications, all those things need to be included on that work order. Now, nothing will stop parts kitting faster than slow procurement. I'd previously worked with a site that processed purchase recs almost 3 weeks after they were submitted. The result was equipment failures and a failure in the parts kitting process. To overcome this, we implemented a service level agreement, or SLA. Now, this SLA was established and put in place the following requirements for both parties. For purchasing, it meant that they will address each purchase rec within 2 business days. Now, for the planners, that meant that all recs had to go through the CMMS in the parts section and include all relevant information to proceed with the purchasing. The issue at this site was that there was no information on the recs, and as such, procurement spent all the time trying to figure out what planning wanted before they ordered it, hence that almost 3 week lead time to complete a purchase rec. Now we have a solid foundation in place and can begin to build a long-lasting and sustainable parts kitting process. You need to develop a process to make parts kitting successful, but you want to keep it as simple as possible. When you develop the process, you want to call out all key steps to making parts kitting work. Typically, you would find something such as materials are identified by the planner, they're entered into the CMMS, which creates requisition automatically. The CMMS determines if the parts are in stock. If they're not in stock, they're going to be ordered by the purchasing group or storeroom group. If they are in stock, they're going to create those job bins. Those parts can be placed in that job bin, and they're going to be checked off on a list to identify what parts are in that job bin and what parts we're still waiting for. Once that checklist is completed, the work order status is going to be changed to ready for scheduling. That work is going to be then scheduled by the maintenance planner scheduler. And then lastly, that bin is going to be removed by the maintenance techs and used. Very simple process. Now, with each one of those steps, we want to make sure that everyone is trained on the entire process and those specific steps.
We want to ensure each one of those steps in the process has an owner. We're also going to want to create a RACI for that process, so everyone understands who is responsible, accountable, consultant informed in each step of the process. Also, for each step, we're going to want to identify the communication channels that are going to be used. We mentioned using the CMS work order status in one of the steps. That's an effective means of communication that identifies where the work order is in the process and communicates to everyone the status of that work order. Then we're going to want to try this process and see what works and what doesn't. It's okay if the process doesn't work at this point in time. We're trying to establish one. We can tweak it and build as we go. And then we're going to refine as needed. Once we have that in place, we're going to want to set up a kitting area. Now, this needs to be a defined and dedicated area for kitting the parts. We want to organize it according to the principles of 5S. So make sure it's well laid out, it's organized, it's clean, it's visual. Everyone knows where everything's supposed to be at any given time. We're going to include an area for bins for those smaller jobs, and we should also include a laydown area for skids or larger components that need to be kitted. Typically, we want this area to be able to hold between 2 to 3 weeks worth of jobs. Why 2 to 3 weeks? Well, 2 to 3 weeks of planned ready backlog is what is required to schedule properly for a week. So how can we schedule if we don't have the parts on site and they're confirmed? One of the other things we're going to want to do for parts kitting is we're going to want to make it visual. By making it visual, we keep it simple. We're going to use those pick lists to check off parts, and we're also going to want to use a traffic light system. Now, this traffic light system indicates the status of any job bin in the kitting area. Now, if the job bin has a red indicator on it, that's going to indicate that the job kit is in progress, not all parts are here, so we can't use it yet. Now, yellow is going to indicate that the kit's ready, but it's not scheduled for this week, so why are we pulling that unscheduled work? And lastly, green is going to indicate that it's ready and work scheduled, so we can pull those bins as needed. When it's visual, it reduces the chance of errors and makes it simpler to use. We're also going to want to utilize the CMMS in our parts kitting process. Oftentimes, the CMMS isn't utilized properly or the functionality enough to make parts kitting successful. So when we're using the CMMS, we want to do a few things. We want to define and utilize those work order statuses for communication. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to use these work order statuses in the process. It simplifies everything. It makes it simple, and it also doesn't overload people with communication. Also, most CMMSs allow us to define specific storage locations for kits. If the CMMS does, we want to make sure we identify those and use those so anyone walking into the storeroom knows exactly where that job bin is. Within the CMMS, we're also going to want to use that pick list. It's going to go on that bin, and it's going to allow us to verify that all parts are present in that job bin. Lastly, we're going to want to use the reporting functionality in the CMMS to measure the parts kitting process and identify areas for improvement. The pick list should also include all materials for a job. An ideal pick list will include the internal part number, whether it's your SAP part number, your maximum part number, it doesn't matter, but the internal part number to your organization. It will include the manufacturer part number as well, a good description, the quantity required, the storage location where those can be found, and what step are they used on in the work order. This pick list needs to be printed and attached to the bin so that the maintenance technicians know what parts are there and what parts are required. This is a vital step that's often overlooked, and I can't emphasize how important the use of pick lists are in parts kitting. Now that we have the foundations and process in place, and it's working, we want to remain vigilant, as there's always challenges that arise with parts kitting. By being aware of the most common issues that plague a parts kitting process, you can ensure we stay ahead of them. One of the first things we want to watch out for is pre-releasing jobs. They say the early bird gets the worm, but by pre-releasing jobs that are not ready, you will not get the worm, you will lose it. So no matter what, do not release jobs until they are fully planned with all parts on site, no matter who asks. This includes the plant manager, so get ahead of it and educate them on the cons of releasing the work early. When jobs are released without all parts, everyone loses faith in the parts kitting process and it will begin to fail. Your wrench time will fall and you will lose the engagement in your parts kitting process and then it will fail. You also want to make sure you secure that load. I say that because job bins can and often are a target of staff looking for parts. They are picked through during breakdowns and other unplanned work. This leads to those bins being incomplete when they're used, and we lose buy-in of the process again. Now, we can overcome this by using bins with lids and zip tying them so we know if they've been accessed. We can put shrink wrap over them. Once again, we know if they've been accessed, it won't prevent the parts from disappearing, but it'll provide that indicator to the storeroom that, hey, someone went through this, validate that all the parts are here before we send it out shorthanded. Now, how do you actually start with parts kitting? Well, don't try and do everything at once. You want to start with large projects, PMs, and then slowly build into the remaining work, you know, your corrective work, your projects. So how do you start with parts kitting? Well, you want to start with those large projects and PMs and then build into the remaining work, your corrective work, your breakdowns, projects, and so on and so forth. You can even evolve to pre-kitting breakdown work to ensure that in the event of a failure, we're able to restore an asset to operational standards as quickly as possible. When you start this way with those larger projects and PMs, it allows you to work out any bugs in the systems and build confidence and buy-in of the parts kitting process. Don't jump in right away and sink to the deep end of the pool. Start small, start slowly, and build with the momentum you gain. Now, one of the things I must emphasize that you do is learn from the job. And this is a key principle of maintenance planning and scheduling, is to use the feedback from the people completing the work and learn from those jobs. Were the right parts identified? If they weren't, let's update that job plan so we have these in place for next time. Were the right quantity of parts identified? If not, let's update these again. And did we identify the consumables? It sounds silly, but if the maintenance technicians have to walk back and forth to get consumables all the time, that contributes to our poor wrench time. So let's eliminate that and include those on our job plan as well. We want to update all of these requirements, put them on the job plan, so next time we do this job, we have the right information and we make parts kitting more successful. One of the other things we want to do is measure the performance of our parts kitting process. Now, you cannot manage something you cannot control, and you cannot control something you cannot measure. Peter Drucker said that, and he's 100% right. So how do you manage parts kitting if you don't know how it is performing? Well, there are two KPIs that we can use to measure how effective our parts kitting process is. The first is the percentage of time that kits are delivered on time. This measure is calculated as the number of times the job bins or kits were delivered on time by the total number of kits delivered. This tells us how effective is the storeroom at ensuring the kits are ready based on lead time and requirements from the planning. The second one is percentage of jobs kitted. This measures the planner's ability to plan jobs properly and ensure that the storeroom delivers all parts right first time. Utilize one or two of these or additional KPIs to monitor your parts kitting process and drive performance improvement that way. So you've put in all this work to get parts kitting in place. Now what's the payoff? Well, say you had a team of 20 maintenance team members. If you increased wrench time by 10%, so you cut down the amount of travel by, say, 5%, and you cut down the amount of time spending in the storeroom by 5%, there's your 10%. What did you gain? Well, with that team of 20 people, you've essentially added two additional people to that team without adding any headcount because of the improved efficiencies. Now, what could you do with the additional people? Reduce overtime? Achieve your weekly work schedule, break the reactive cycle, and get all your PMs done on time. The benefits to parts kitting are numerous and within reach. If it was easy, everyone would be world-class in delivering these results. So in summary, parts kitting is what separates highly efficient maintenance organizations from subpar ones. Parts kitting may not be easy, but if it was, everyone would be great at it. Parts kitting can be successful with the right foundations, the right process, and the right management techniques. Typically, by implementing a parts kitting process and making it successful, you can yield a 10% increase in wrench time. So what's stopping you from achieving success in parts kitting? I encourage you to leave a comment, leave a review, and let us know where you are with your parts kitting process and what you're doing to be successful with it or what your struggles are. If you share your struggles, we'll work as a community to help you understand what we can do or what you can do better to make that more successful.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.